Lord, I thank you for this occasion, for the opportunity to share your word, and I pray that you would open the hearts of all of us so we might hear what you would have to say to us this morning. I ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
As most of you know, next Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday, and for some people, the Super Bowl is kind of like a religion. It's kind of like a worship experience. They focus on their team and they pray hard for their team to go on to victory. And I remember coming across a cartoon one time where a guy was filling out an application for work. And he handed it to the person across the desk, and the person across the desk looked at the application and said, "Where it says religion, do you really want to put NFL on there?" Well, when I was looking at the lessons today from Nehemiah and from 1 Corinthians, I realized that there are some similarities between the National Football League and these readings. One of the similarities, of course, is that each team needs to have each person on that team work together in order for the team to become successful. And then the team also has to have a leader, someone who will lead them on to victory. And certainly that's really the story of Nehemiah in our Old Testament lesson today. Nehemiah, if you don't know the story, is quite a remarkable story of something that a layperson did, in essence. And so Nehemiah was a lowly cupbearer for the king. His job was to make sure that the king's cup was always filled with wine. And that was especially true when it came to times of toasting, so that the king would have wine in his cup to make a toast. And so in essence, Nehemiah was kind of like a butler to the king, if you will. And so the king was King Artaxerxes, and he was in the 20th year of his reign, which he reigned around the year 445 B.C., I think. And so Artaxerxes was the king at that time, and Nehemiah had heard a rumor that there were things that were happening to the remnant of Judah in Jerusalem that really distressed him. He heard that the walls of Jerusalem were falling down and that they were being threatened from enemies outside of the walls. And so Nehemiah went to Artaxerxes and asked if he might go and rebuild the city of Jerusalem. And amazingly, Artaxerxes said, "Sure, you can go." And Artaxerxes even made him the governor of the province. Artaxerxes also gave him a letter which commended him to the people and gave him permission to do the rebuilding. And so he also gave Nehemiah the permission to go and use any of the timber from the king's forest that he needed. And so when Nehemiah went to Jerusalem, he went there and he began the process of rebuilding the walls, and he did so under great opposition. He did so facing the opposition of the Samaritans, the Amorites, the Arabs, and the Philistines, all of whom were enemies of Israel at that time, coming against him. And so, though the temple was still standing at this time, the worship of the temple really had fallen on hard times. People were no longer observing the Sabbath very religiously. And so Nehemiah realized that something needed to be done in order for the worship of the temple to be brought up to the standards at which it was supposed to be. And so the crowning wretchedness of this whole situation lay in the fact that the walls had fallen down in a sense, and the people of Israel had just piled trash upon the stones that had fallen off of the walls in order to try to hide them. And so it was really just kind of a disgusting scene in Jerusalem at that time. And certainly, as a result of that, despair had come over the people, and with that, there was really a sense of demoralization that had come upon them. And if nothing were to be done, the nation of Israel would likely have just kind of crumbled and disappeared. And so there were those that wanted to rebuild the walls, wanted to do something about this situation, but they didn't have the power to do it. Those in power, however, were really those who were given to immorality, to lying, and a general lack of integrity. Consequently, people of faith looked for someone who really had a strong spiritual backbone to them, someone who could really lead the people, someone whom they could trust. and their eyes turned to Nehemiah. And Nehemiah, when he came to Jerusalem, saw the condition of the city, and it says that he sat down and he wept. He says he mourned, he fasted, and he prayed. Nehemiah was a man of prayer. And when he saw the situation, he really realized that something needed to be done, so he began the rebuilding process. He did so in order to keep out those who were trying to come into the city and really harm the people of the city at that time. And so he began the rebuilding process of the walls, and certainly there came an attempt by some to stop the rebuilding process. And so people began to become discouraged again. Nehemiah met this new attack with faith and decision. He equipped the workers with the things that they would need to face these attacks, and he sought to do good to the people. He even lowered their taxes. And at last, after 52 days, the walls were finally completed. Not only did Nehemiah have to rebuild the city, but he also had to rebuild the people's morals. And he did so by having Ezra, the priest, get up and read the law to the people. And that's what we find in our Old Testament lesson today, where Ezra is reading the law to the people. And then he and the Levites begin to explain what the law means to the people. And as they did so, the people began to get excited again about the law, about the Word of God. And as they got excited about it, they began to seek to live by it. And he encouraged them to remember that their strength was not found in themselves. Their strength was not in their own abilities, but rather their strength was in the Lord. And he said these famous words, "The joy of the Lord is your strength." The joy of the Lord is your strength. There are a lot of parallels between the book of Nehemiah and the church today. One of which is that there's a crying need for leadership in the church. I'm not just talking about clergy leadership. I'm talking about leadership of the laity. We need Nehemiahs that are going to rise up and begin to lead the people. Nehemiahs that are going to rise up and be examples of the way we live and be examples in how they help others in the body of Christ. We need people that will be able to train people in how to do their ministries better and train people in how to be more effective in the things that God has called them to do. The church is also crying out for those who love the Word of God, who love the Bible. It's crying out for those who really have delight in the fear of the Lord, those who really know what it is to serve the Lord. We learn from Nehemiah also that the way to prevent the decline of the church and prevent the demoralization of the church really is for each individual Christian to focus on their own spiritual life and make that a priority in their lives. And certainly also to realize that we are not Lone Ranger Christians. We are part of a larger group. We are part of the body of Christ. We are part of the church. And that's what Paul is talking about in 1 Corinthians today. He's talking about the fact that we are all part of the body of Christ. We are all members of this one body. We are members of the church. And so another thing we learn is the importance of doing worship well, to take seriously this thing that we do each Sunday when we come together. Whether it's reading the lessons or whether it's leading the prayers or whether it's singing in the choir or whether it's singing in the congregation or whether it's reading the creed or saying the Lord's Prayer, whatever we do in the congregation in terms of the service, are we doing so to the Lord? Are we doing so to the best of our ability? We see from Nehemiah also the importance of keeping up our city. Are we doing anything to beautify and to impact the cities around us? Are we doing anything to open the door of the gospel of grace to be given to those around us? Are we doing anything to spread the message that this is a place where people can come to experience the love of God, to experience the grace of God, to experience the gospel of Jesus Christ? We also see the importance of keeping up our facilities and making them as attractive as possible, not just so that people won't look down on us and say, well, they don't really care much about their church facilities, look at their kind of falling into disrepair. No, we want to do so that it will attract others to come and hear the message of Christ. By keeping our facilities and our looking as, and functioning at the best that they can be, then we're saying to the whole world that we are thankful to God for the facilities that we have. And we realize that these facilities don't belong to us. They don't belong to the Episcopal Church. They don't belong to anybody except the Lord. These facilities belong to the Lord, and because they belong to the Lord, we are called to be good stewards of those facilities while we are here. And so our vestry is committed to putting a new roof on our facilities. And we've been praying about this for a long time, and now it's time to do something. We're beginning to rebuild the walls of the city by rebuilding our roof. And just as we're beginning to do this, we're also making plans for future improvements that will help to beautify and make our facilities even better. We have to start somewhere, and this is where we're starting. But each one of us has an opportunity to start somewhere, and that is to start with our own spiritual lives. To certainly look at our lives and see if any of the parts of our spiritual lives have kind of fallen down like the walls of Jerusalem. To see if there is something that we might need to do to begin to rebuild those walls. Are there anything that we need to do to kind of shore up the walls that might have fallen into disrepair because of a lack of spiritual discipline? Are there anything we need to do, new things perhaps that we can do to kind of build up our spiritual lives and make them as powerful and effective as possible? We also need to overcome skepticism, the skepticism of others, and we do so with our faith in God, with our burning energy, and by our determination and our willingness to do what it takes to rebuild the walls. There are those who will try, just as they did in Nehemiah's day, to stop the rebuilding process, to stop the rebuilding of the walls. They will seek to keep the spiritual walls torn down. I remember working at a church where I was first ordained, and I was called to start youth ministry there, and one of the vestry members said, you know, we really don't need any youth ministry. I mean, we don't have very many youth anyway, and besides, if we do have a youth ministry, all these kids will start coming in, and they'll start tearing up the place. Well, thankfully, the other vestry members didn't listen to that vestryman, and so we began to develop a youth ministry that became one of the most effective ones in the city at that time. And so Joe Kirkpatrick said this one time, the biggest problem some pastors and church leaders are having is how they can have a church without bothering people's lives. How they can have a church without bothering people's lives. If we're going to make St. Anne's more effective, if we're going to make St. Anne's grow and flourish, then St. Anne's is going to bother our lives. St. Anne's is going to bother us by calling us to make sacrifices. St. Anne's is going to bother us by calling us to certainly pray more. It's going to call us to commit ourselves to giving and to helping wherever we can. It's going to call us to use our spiritual gifts and our talents to build up the walls again of the church and to help the body of Christ to grow and to flourish. I'm calling each one of us to a new commitment of prayer, because it's only by prayer that we can open the door for God to do great and miraculous things in our midst. Paul talks about the fact that we are all part of the body of Christ, and certainly he goes even further in talking about that in Ephesians chapter 4. Listen to what he says in Ephesians 4. From Jesus, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love, now get this part, as each part does its work. The whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If you want to help St. Anne's to grow and build itself up in love, each one of us has to do our part. And so you might make that a matter of prayer. Lord, what is my part in helping the body of Christ to grow? What is my part in helping this church to grow and flourish? What is my part in helping to rebuild the walls of this church? Now, maybe you already know what your part is, and you continue to do that. But maybe there might be some that's saying, I'm not sure where I fit in. But as Paul said, each person is important to the body of Christ. Each person is important to this church. Each person has a role to play. And so as each one of us does our part, St. Anne's will become an even more vibrant and powerful force, not only within the walls of this church, but also in the walls outside of the walls of this church. Let us pray. Lord, we ask that you would help us to fully understand what our role and function might be in rebuilding the walls of this church, what we might be able to do to help build up the body of Christ here at St. Anne's. what we might be able to do to have an impact on those around us, what we might be able to do to have an impact on those outside of the walls of our church. Lord, would you give us your insight, your guidance, your direction? Would you open the door for miraculous and great things to happen through the lives of your people here at this church? Would you also use our gifts and talents to build up the body of Christ here? Lord, ultimately, we want to submit ourselves to you. We want to submit ourselves to the Word of God and allow that Word to have an impact on our lives so that we might then have an impact on those around us. Lord, help us to learn lessons from the book of Nehemiah today. Help us to learn lessons from St. Paul and his reminder that we all are part of the body of Christ, and each one of us has a role to play in it. We ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.